Is it possible for Christians to suffer from spiritual amnesia? In Philemon verses 17 through 21, the Apostle Paul provides practical application about how we should forgive others based on how and why Christ forgave us. Let's listen as Pastor C. Wright continues with part 3 of his series on forgiveness with his sermon entitled, Do the Math. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry C. Wright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Remain standing as we pray, and then I'm going to read the scripture text as well. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you once again, Lord. The song says that you are able. We serve an able God. Lord, keep that in our minds and our hearts on today, Father, that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. So, Father, today we come and we worship you. Lord, I ask you to clear our hearts and our minds on today as we come before you and worship. Lord, as we partake in this bread of life that comes from you from above, I ask that it's not mixed with my words or my message, but it's your message that's going to your people. I am simply the waiter that is serving the meal on today that is from above. And Father, this meal has to do with forgiveness. It's a tough, tough topic, Father, but I ask that you touch the hearts of the people, that they may be receptive to what you have them to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And the scripture lesson text comes from Philemon, and it's the 17th verse to the 21st verse, and I'll read it, and I'm reading from the King James, New King James. So, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident you of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Amen. It's good to see some faces. I see Brother Don out there. Continue to pray for your brother. Pray for your ministry as well. It's good to see your face. Also, as always, I want to push Sunday school, and I want to push Tuesday service. Sunday school, I was coming in today and going down the stairs, and all of a sudden I saw the little kids come by and with their teacher, and I think somebody said, who's the best class? and I have to admit, they are awesome, and it's good to see them. Good to see them in action with the review. But I do want to say that Sunday school is where you get the meat. Also want to say a big thank you for those who went out on yesterday, and for those, thank you. We went out and we canvassed the neighborhood and knocked on some doors and talked to some people and prayed for some people as well. So that will be a continued effort. In addition to that, I want to thank those who came on the church, I believe, on Thursday as well, right? And I just got a little song for y'all. Oh, 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 oh. Those who were in the meeting get it. Oh, it's not my issue anymore. And I thank you all. Thank you. I appreciate it. We have a baptismal service today, and I'll try not to be before you long, but I do want to read a card from Sister Dana Watkins. And it says, to all of you with warmest thanks. It says, the heart remembers kind deeds and thoughtfulness. My heart remembers special people like all of you. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate your donations and contributions to the advancement of my education. Sister Dana will be leaving us soon for Central Michigan. Am I right? Central Michigan, yeah. So keep her in your hearts and prayers. And I found out something. It's okay if you all send like a care package to her sometimes, you know? Just find out her favorite snacks and stuff, you know, and hook her up with some Skittles and Laffy Taffys. Save her some money, right? So it'd be nice just to say, hey, we're thinking about you. Amen? So we could do that as well. To the message. The message is forgiveness, do the math. Forgiveness, do the math. By way of introduction, I was reading this week about amnesia. Amnesia is caused, they say, by brain injury or shock. It said that some cases of amnesia was brought on about by high fevers and emotional stress. They say that the results of amnesia is large amounts and blocks of memories are lost. A person that suffers from this is confused and have the inability to recognize places and faces. They're confused. Some methods of treatment include, but not limited to, hypnosis, acupuncture, cognitive therapy to help improve thinking and decision making. They also have this therapy or treatment called bilateral sounds, where they try to help the brain become unstuck and try to regulate it again. And of course, nutrition is always important, because what you eat or don't eat truly affects access and retrieval, if you will, of memory. So in other words, all that sugar and stuff is not necessarily good for you. Believe it or not, right? But I want to submit today and boldly submit that there are a few Christians, when we talk about forgiveness, there are a few Christians that suffer from spiritual amnesia. Pride has set in and injured and shocked the mind. A high-pitched fever level of blessings and good things have altered their thinking and made them forget from whence they came. If anything, we've been hypnotized by our own reflections, because we bathe in ourselves and we love us some us. Rather than needles, we need that serious acupuncture that comes from the sword, the word of God, to slice us and dice us and get us right so that we can get back to thinking as we should. We need to unstick our minds because they've gotten stuck in sugary affirmations. We constantly feed on sweet things and sweet thoughts about ourselves. We love us some us. Yes, we do. But spiritual amnesia, it's at a tragic level. And it infects relationships, but it also affects praise. You hear me? It affects praise. Because, see, when you forget where you came from, the first thing to go most times is gratitude. When you forget where you came from, one of the first things to go is gratitude. See, there's a popular saying where it says, Elvis has left the building. Actually, true praise and worship has left the church. Because people forget where they came from. You know, Titus, the third chapter, verses 3-5, it says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." You see how he laid that out? He told you and reminded you where you came from first. Then he said, "But the Lord brought you out of it." You have to remember where you came from. How does this relate even more specifically to forgiveness? See, in order to deal with forgiveness, you must remember where he brought you from. The saying shouldn't be forgive and forget. The saying actually should be forgive because you never shall forget. Forgive because you never shall forget. Now let's review once again this letter to Philemon, to make sure that we have it right. A quick review. We know that, put simply, Paul wanted Philemon to forgive Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave who had ran away from Philemon. Philemon was his owner, and Onesimus had ran away from him. And on his way out, Onesimus may have took some money as well. So Philemon, basically this letter starts, and it's a very personal letter, by the way, very personal letter from Paul. And he starts out by reviewing Philemon's encouraging ways, how he encourages and uplifts the people, the saints there. Matter of fact, it says that Philemon was rich, and the church in this area was probably held at his house. Philemon's ministry was a family affair. His wife and his son, they all were in on ministering to the saints in that area. And some even believe that his son, Archippus, was actually the pastor. Philemon was an encourager, as I've stated, a motivator, a supporter of the saints, and he did this with such ease and with such grace, most people write. How he just did this as if it was a gift of his. Matter of fact, some people said that he really lived up to the meaning of his name, which meant affectionate. He was affectionate. So Paul basically said to Philemon, hey, with your character and based on your character, show me and Onesimus some favor. Please. Please show us some favor in this situation. Next, Paul could also, he could have pretty much flexed his apostolic muscle. He could have just gone in and said, you will forgive, but he didn't. He didn't. He wanted Philemon to do it out of love. Do it out of love. Paul asked Philemon to forgive based on his reputation and then based on love and not duty. Next in the review, we see that Paul moves on to say, not only out of your character, Philemon, and out of love, but I also want to remind you now, or let you know now, inform you now, that Onesimus is now a family member. Onesimus has been converted. He's now a believer, a co-heir in Christ or with Christ. He is a brother now. So Paul wanted Philemon to mend the fence, if you will, with his brother, not his slave, with his brother. So on top of all this, he also said Onesimus was now useful and needed for the ministry. And then lastly, he requested, based on the fact that God's providence was in action. See, Onesimus ran away, but as God designed it, he ran right to Paul. So Onesimus was guided to Paul, and Paul to Onesimus. And out of it, a brother was born. Now, Paul called on Philemon to show love. But as once stated, it takes more than love to solve a problem. Love must pay a price. Love must pay a price. He says in verse 17 and 18, so if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he was wrong, or if he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Paul says, I know loving feelings will not solve this problem. There's a price to pay. Now, I'm not excusing what Onesimus did to you, Philemon, but I do want to say, look at me as a co-partner, if you will, or a co-business partner in this endeavor. Now, what I will do for you, Paul says to Philemon, what I will do to you is, for you is, I will pay the price for Onesimus. See, I was given a gift. I was given money by various churches. And what I will do is I will pay you that money if that will solve the issue between you and Onesimus. So I will step in and pay the price. Put his debt on my tab, on my account. I'll pay for it, says Paul. Saints, can you see how this is relevant to our situation? Can you connect the dots? Can you see why we must not have that spiritual amnesia? Because think about it. Paul was saying, Onesimus can't pay the price, so I'll pay it for him. Does that sound familiar to you? Does that sound familiar to you? Paul said, Onesimus can't pay this price. I'll pay it for him. Now, let's do the math. Let's do the math. The prophet Isaiah says in 64:6, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. But God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. See, sorry won't do it. Sorry won't do it. There is a price that must be paid. And the Lord said in Ezekiel 18:4, the soul who sins shall surely die, right? He said, behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the Son. The soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. God is a just God, and everyone will reap what they sow. There was a price that had to be paid, and you couldn't pay it. You couldn't pay it. Hebrews 9:22 says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. There was a price to be paid. Your blood wouldn't work. Your blood wouldn't work. When you couldn't see your way out, when you had a state of damnation that you could not get out of, all of a sudden, just like Paul with Onesimus, Jesus stepped up for you. And he said, put it on my tab. Put it on my account. I will pay the price. And he covered us with his righteousness. And it satisfied God's justice. He paid the price for you. But forgetting that steals the praise. See, what I'm saying to you, saints, is that some of us have gotten clean to a point to where we have gotten sediddy. We have gotten clean to the point where we forgot where we came from. Right? We just knew that we were messed up. But all of a sudden, when that transformation came, it's like you forgot that you came from the projects. And now that you are able to eat some steak, you look at everybody else from the projects as if they stink. When you used to stink. And you probably still stink. Right? You know, the come up was real for all of us. Amen. You know, my mind went back to when Karen and I had our first apartment. See, I didn't grow up in plush stuff. Oh, no, no, no. No. I kind of grew up with some things lacking. And all of a sudden, when I got that first apartment, I knew I arrived. I was like, woo, oh my good. Clean carpet. A two vanity bathroom. I got my sink. She got her sink. Oh man, I made it. I made it. You know, and it's funny because I thought I made it so much. I was so satisfied. I didn't need furniture. The come up was real. I'm telling you. Before we married, Karen bought this floor model TV. Man, every night Karen came in from work, I would be on the floor, back against the wall with some Fruit Loops watching TV. I was so happy. The come up was so real. I didn't forget where I came from. I was so grateful, sitting on the floor just eating my Fruit Loops. I had Fruit Loops. I was so happy. Not troop hoops. King Vitamins. I had Fruit Loops. It was good. And then one day Karen just said, we got to get some furniture. Can we please get some furniture? And I was like, hey, if you need it, go ahead. But I'm good. Saints, you got to remember where you came from. The come up was real from all of us. And once it comes to the area of forgiveness, when you remember what God has done for you, it should be easier for you to deal with one another when you offend and mess up with each other. Amen. Paul says, receive him, which means to treat him as part of the family now. Onesimus is now family, Philemon. And we must remember that we are all family. We are all family. Romans 8:17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Together. Galatians 4:5 says, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. We are all his sons now, his children. Amen. And we should remember that when we are dealing with each other. Like I told you last week, you trying to play this side thing with God. Like, since he wronged me, then God is on my side. But God has a work to do for the other individual as well. He doesn't play that side thing. He's working in all of our lives. Amen. We are a family and we ought to forgive one another. Paul goes on further to interject another thought. In verse 19, he says, I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own life. Paul was used by God to preach the gospel not only to Philemon, but also to Onesimus. So both were Paul's spiritual sons. They were now brothers, and Philemon was in debt for many reasons to Paul. Reasons that weren't even wrote about. He was in Paul's debt. But mainly, Paul was used to give that gospel message to Philemon so that he would even become a believer through it. And like Philemon, what we are asked to do in forgiving one another shouldn't be that hard to do. But some of us would say, I ain't forgiving nobody. You know what they did to me? Do you realize that what they have done to me? They can stay out my life, out of my business, out of my affairs. Go. I don't need you. Matter of fact, a popular saying today is, I'm going to write you off. I'm going to write you off. See, this is a serious issue. And some of us have forgotten where we have come from. But others who have been raised in the church, say, I never was out there. So what that done did, I've never done. So based on the fact that that has done what that do, I've never done it. I've never done it. And this thought brought me to a scripture in Matthew, the 15th chapter, verse 16 through 20. It says, so Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. You know, Elder Williamson taught on this passage, and it brought out a deep point. And that is, you have doers. And they out there, and they have done some things. They have done some dirt. They have messed up. And they have lived their lives and everything else. And then they come into the church, and they come up, and they confess, and they give God their hand, and now they have been converted, and they live in the life for Christ. But then you have those who were raised in the church, never been out there, never did whatever, whatever. And they think that they are better since they never been out there. But Jesus tells you it ain't a matter of their action. What it's a matter of is a matter of the heart. See, although you may not have done it, the deep thing is some of your thoughts are wicked. Ooh-wee. Oh, you know you can think some evil. You know you can think up something. Now, you may not have done it, but guess what? You thought it. You have thought it. And here's the deep thing. Some of them got it so twisted that, you know, they mad at the fact that the ones that were out there, they mad like the prodigal son's brother, they mad that they wasn't out there doing it. I didn't get my chance to get forgiven for whatever. Right? You know, he was a player. And I was up here ushering all these years. And I'm mad that he got to be a player. And I was just ushering all these years. You see what I'm saying? Some people are that twisted. But the truth is that those who have come from out in, and those who said they stayed in, right, with these thoughts and everything else that's going on, both of you need a Savior. You both need a Savior. And when you read the statistics, here's the deep thing. Those who are in, they may just be undercover. Because when you read statistics, some stuff is going on in the church at proportion to what's going on out there. Teen pregnancy, teen sex, you name it, is going on in God's house. So the bottom line is, both of you need a Savior. So stop acting like you didn't receive his blessings. Amen? Because this is important to forgiveness. In Luke 7th chapter, 47th verse, it says this, "Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Ain't that deep? Have you ever met somebody that is really in connection with how much they have been forgiven for? Man, they are so grateful, and they are so thankful, because they know they were a joker out there. They were messed up, but they are so grateful now. And you just see the joy of the Lord in them. They are so happy for being forgiven for that mess that they were in. And they want to show the Lord their gratitude through service and through work and through love and support. and even encouragement for those who know that they have been loved to that level. They want to love back. They love him back. But for those who think, hey, he didn't have to clean me up as much as he had to clean that one up, right? All I needed is a tied pen. And I could just, this joker needed dumping. All I needed was a tied pen. I was good. It's proportionate to your love, right? When you think that you have been just forgiven on that tied pen level, that's how much love and gratitude that you will have. That's why I said praise has left the building. Because when you don't realize that you were saved from hell, you should be tearing this church up. You should be praising him on every occasion. But what steals the praise is that you think that you have been forgiven for very little. Because I'm just that good. Give me a tied pen and I'm tight. And the truth is that, no. All of us need a dumping. And with our thought life and everything else, we still need dumping. On a daily basis. On a daily basis. So, if you're real with yourself, it's not possible to, it's not impossible to forgive somebody else. Do you hear me? If you're real with yourself, it's not impossible to forgive someone else. So when do you forgive? Let's get it even more practical now. When do you forgive? Well, Ephesians 4:26 says this. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So when do you forgive? You forgive immediately. Ouch. Ouch. You forgive immediately. You forgive immediately. One more time. You forgive immediately. You forgive immediately. Now, this doesn't mean that it's not a process. Amen? And sometimes forgiving somebody doesn't mean restoring them back to the same place. You can forgive, but it doesn't mean that the person is back in the same spot that they were in. It says, be angry and do not sin. So it means that it's some stuff that has to be dealt with. But in the process of dealing with it, do not sin. Do not sin. And this doesn't mean, by the way, this doesn't mean that you immediately go up to the person and says, I forgive you. You immediately, as soon as, you know, they offend you, and then you say, okay, I'm supposed to forgive immediately. Okay, I forgive them immediately. I forgive you. It doesn't mean that. See, when you forgive, that's immediate. But going to that person, that's a whole nother thing. That's a whole nother thing. Because what that person has to do first is say, I'm sorry. A person has to confess. They have to get off your foot. Remember I told y'all that example where they on your foot? If they on your foot and they're just twisting your foot and tearing your corns up and you up there and they say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, and they never get off your foot, how does it look if you say, I forgive you? Ouch, I forgive you. Ow, I forgive you. You see what I'm saying? The damage has to be, you know, you got to stop the damage. Then the person says, I'm sorry. Then you say, I forgive you. But before that interaction even goes down, guess what you've done already? You've forgiven. You've forgiven. You have forgiven. You have freed yourself from that situation. You've given it to God, because ultimately all sin is against Him. All sin is against Him, ultimately. So you forgive that person. I know that this is tough for some folks. And I know some folks can hold grudges. And I know that, you know, it's like the Hatfields and McCoys. It's just been going on for decades and generations and things of that nature. But what I am telling you is that if you are truly a son of God, if you have been changed, if you are a daughter of God, if you are in the family, then that means that you know that you were forgiven of some stuff. And if you were forgiven, you need to be a forgiving forgiver. You hear me? A forgiven forgiver. That's what you need to be today. So, when we do the math, we see that the Lord has done so much for us. And because He did this for us, we, in turn, can do this for a brother or a sister that have offended. Now, here's the thing, too. God has to take us through baby steps. Sometimes He reveals a small picture to us before He reveals the big picture. Because our hearts are hardened. Remember in the exchange between Jesus and the scribes and Pharisees when they were talking about marriage, and Jesus said that the Lord allowed, or Moses allowed them to have divorces because of the hardness of their heart. It wasn't because He wanted them to go ahead and get the divorce, but it was because of the hardness of their hearts. He said, go ahead. Sometimes dealing with hard hearts, you got to take baby steps. You got to give them just a little bit until they accept and understand the bigger picture here. And I hope that someone out there is not in that state where forgiveness is so hard for them that, you know, you just got to give them a little bit until they get it, until they get the fact that God wants them to forgive. If you are in that state, then my prayer is that you keep moving towards where God wants you to be. And God wants you to be quick to forgive. He wants you to be quick to forgive. You know, in closing, I was reading Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. And he gave an analogy. And he said that when you are doing a math problem, and if you are doing it, and it's a long working out problem, it's a problem that you have to work out, then all of a sudden the answer is wrong. He says that you have to go back to the point where it was a mistake. So when you're doing the math, you got to go back to the point of error. Because if you keep working the problem, guess what? It's going to be wrong. He said, if you're going and walking in the wrong direction, it's the wrong direction. If you take a turn, it's still the wrong direction. You keep traveling wrong and you keep going wrong. You have to do an about face. You have to stop where the error is, do an about face, and go in the point of correction. Can you do that, church? Can you do the math and then see where, man, that didn't add up. That is not where God wants me to be. I need to go back to the point of error and work this thing out till it's right. Shall we stand? Wouldn't it be a sad testimony if a church was known to have a bunch of unforgiveness in the midst? Wouldn't that be a sad church to go to where folks can't forgive one another? Folks can't come and approach each other with love and be frank with one another and be honest with one another and just clean one another, so to speak, on a daily basis? Wouldn't it be sad if we could not do that? That's what we want to do as a church. We want to be able to approach each other in love and say, brother, sister, you know, you were wrong there. And then we are able to say, I'm sorry. And then we can move on. We can grow on with each other. Another thing is if you love each other, guess what? Your goal and your mission will not be to do me wrong. You won't wake up in the morning thinking about how can I do him wrong. If we really love one another, and we should not approach each other as if that's our aim. That we woke up and we stretched and we opened our eyes and we said, I need to do sister so-and-so wrong today. That's not how we operate. And that's not how we should operate. There came a time when God revealed to you that you were wrong and that you were out of relationship with him. And when you came to that realization, when he brought you to that realization, you did something about it. You confessed that he was Lord and Savior, and you gave your life to him. We should do that in a sense with one another. Should see where we have erred and fix it and clean it. Is there one? Is there one that either wants to get it right with God or get it right with each other? Is there one today? I understand in Sunday school this morning that this young man came up and gave his life to Christ. Amen. Now, I want to make it clear. He hasn't come up here to confess again. Am I right? He hasn't come up here to confess again. He came up to just let you all know you can put a face to this new brother. All right? You can put a face to this new brother. So I just wanted to make sure that we got that straight. It's not him coming up here to get saved again. He's just saying, put this face with the new brother. Amen? And I'm going to leave it to, if there's no one else, I'm going to leave it to Elder.
Amen. I gave my life in Sunday school. And well, he wanted to say something. He's a little nervous. I know I did it. But I was like full of pride, cuz I didn't think that was the way. Amen. That I should have acted. But that morning, this young man right here is the one who entered, opened up the doors to the church for me. And so I told this young man that it was my turn now, because he brought me to church. So I got up and I was sitting right there where you are right now, sis. And I looked back and I told him, I said, it's my turn now. So I was back here like this, I got up and I was walking like this up there. But as close as I got to this brother right here, the Lord was peeling me like a banana. And by the time I got up there, I was doing something like this. And he said, son, tell the church what you want to do. And I tell you, snotty nose, crying. I said, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. That afternoon, just trying to make this short, he got up and said, we had a young man in Sunday school this morning, just like they did you, man. Would you come up and tell the church what you told us this morning? So I said, in my mind, I ain't going to do that no more. I ain't going to be crying and all of that. Once again, I got up and I was walking up to like that again. But before I got here, God did it all over again. Peeled me just like a banana. And I told the whole church that I would like to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior 33 years ago. 33 years. And you know what? It still seemed like it was just yesterday because I ain't there yet. Amen. The doors of the church, the water is still running warm. Amen. You can identify yourself today, even after you accept Jesus Christ. We can take one more. Because I'm going to be the one that's going to dip you if you come. Is there one more? Amen. On that note.
Amen, church.
Amen.
Amen. Just a few words this morning. We thank Pastor C. Wright for the message of the hour. We thank him for doing the math with us, and we hope that you all have also did the math with yourselves as well. Kind of reminded me in his closing statements of a game that I used to play. Maybe you've played it before with these little grids with the numbers in it. Sudoku. Only one solution to each one of those puzzles. And if you put the wrong number in the wrong place and you keep going from that point, you'll find out something as you get closer to the end. You won't find the solution to the problem. Is that right? And what do you have to do? You got to go back to the point of error, right? And start all over again at that point and do it right from that point forward. We got to go back, don't we? We got to go back to those that we know we have offended. If you see your brother taken in a fall, you who are spiritual should go to that brother and restore such a one in a spirit of what? Meekness, right? Huh? Spirit of love, right? Lest you also be tempted. Is that right? That's what the word tells us. So we need to take responsibility ourselves. If we know that we have offended someone, don't wait for them to come to you, but you go to them. Is that right? And that's what this is all about, because Satan can use the breakdown of that relationship to not only affect you, but affect them, and then it can affect the church, it can affect families, and it can affect your testimony when you try to open up your mouth and talk about the love of Jesus. We have to make sure that we don't have that as a problem. I'm not sure if, Pastor, you have any final words that you want to say before we get started.
Going to baptismal.
All right. Yeah. All right. We're going to go right into the baptism then.
All right. Congregation, you may be seated. And I ask those individuals who are assigned to baptize on today, they can go to the pool. Amen. No, I'm sorry. You all are going to stay here with me. The ones who baptize y'all are going to the pool first. Amen. We place the candidates before you as I read the charge to them. It says, the charge go as follows. Today we celebrate the life-changing decisions of our new converts who accepted Christ as Lord and Savior and now live a life touched by His awesome redeeming power. Each person before us is solidly and eternally anchored in their faith in and faithfulness to God and His committed service and worship. They are committed to serve and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20 says this as a perfect example to us all. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We believe the following about the purpose of baptism that is explained in our doctrinal statement. And it reads as follows. We teach that two ordinances have been committed to the local church: baptism and the Lord's Supper. Acts 2:38-42. Christian baptism by immersion, Acts 8:36-39, is the solemn and beautiful testimony of a believer showing forth his faith or her faith in the crucified, buried, and risen Savior, and his or her union with Him in death to sin and resurrection to a new life. That's found in Romans 6:1-11. It is also a sign of fellowship and identification with the visible body of Christ. Also found in Acts 2nd chapter, verse 41-42. More specifically, we believe that baptism is not evidence of or a condition for salvation. Neither is baptism a condition of church membership, but rather it is a public proclamation to the local assembly, family, and friends that a person has already accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. In other words, baptism is an outward and physical expression that reflects an inward and spiritual transformation. We're asking that the candidates at this time will proceed and go get baptized. You may go. First of all, I want to let the congregation know who is being baptized at this time. Amen. Can you state your name for the congregation?
I'm Isaiah Woods.
He says, "I am Isaiah Woods." Amen. And we baptize you now, brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And who do we have here? Can you state your name for the congregation?
Michaela
Politeer. Amen. We baptize you, sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Man, who do we have here? Malik Politeer. Amen. Brother, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.